रामाय रामभद्राय रामचंद्राय वेद श्री रघुनाथाय नाथाय सीताय पतये नमः। युद्धकांड चैप्टर नंबर 4 द मार्च। द रेसिटेशन बिगिंस नाउ। द हम्बल एडवाइस टेंडर्ड बाय आंजनेय कमेंडेड इटसेल्फ टू रामा द माइटी वन ऑफ नेवर फेलिंग प्रोवेस एंड ही सेड, वेरीली माय शार्प एरोज विल शैटर टू द विंड्स द सिटी यू हैव डिस्क्राइब्ड। You have my word for it. Sugriva, it seems to me good that we march at this auspicious hour. It is best suited for the purpose. The sun is high and in the heavens, and we can take it that this hour, known as Abhijit, will bring victory to our armies. If I set out now, where can Ravana, the thief that stole Sita, go and hide himself? If it is asked what profit is there in marching out without making provision for crossing the waters, I say that a man at the point of death through a terrible poison comes back to life as soon as he touches a drop of the waters of immortality. Even so, the moment Sita hears from Trijata and others that I have set out to rescue her, she will resume her hold upon life. But should we waste our time here in the prolonged councils, Sita would give up her life. The asterism Uttara Falguni rules over this day, and Hasta takes place tomorrow. Sugriva, let us gather our forces and be on the march even today. Favorable omens presage victory to us. So, I have a feeling that we shall slay Ravana and bring Sita back. My right eyes throb. This foretells victory. Let Nila go in advance with a large force on the reconnaissance mission. Sugriva and Lakshmana applauded the words of Rama, and he proceeded to marshal the troops as described by the rules. Nila, you should lead the troops through the cool woods where there is plenty of food like fruits, roots, honey and water. Beware of wicked rakshasas poisoning the roots, fruits and water. Have them tested carefully before consuming them. Some of you must go down into the deep valleys and chasms on the way and find any foes who might have hidden themselves there. I am sure we have few among us who are not in fit condition, but if there are any such, it is best to leave them behind at Kishkindha. For the dreadful war that we have to wage, we should take with us none but our best and most efficient troops. We are taught that we should strengthen our forces where we expect attack from the foes. Hence, let Gaja, Gavaksh, Gavai and other heroes go in the front of the myriads of proud and mighty Vanaras. Again, we are told that generals and commanders should be placed in all directions. So let Rishabha guard our right and Gandhamadhana our left. I shall ride on the shoulders of my Maruti, even as Indra bestrides his elephant Airavata, and from my place in the center, infuse energy and enthusiasm into the whole army. Lakshmana will ride on the shoulders of Angada, even as Kubera bestrides Sarvabhauma, the elephant that guards the quarters. He will prove the death of our foes in battle. Sugriva, you will come with us in your royal palanquin. Jambavan, his brother Rikshrajas, Sushina, Vegadarshi and others will guard the rear. Sugriva repeated these orders, and the monkey hosts, all afire to fight the Rakshasas, issued forth from caves and mountain peaks. Sugriva and Lakshmana marching in front, Rama, past master in the art of war, led his army southwards. Hundreds, thousands, lakhs, crores and ayutas of monkeys followed him. Loyal to their master Sugriva and proud of their strength, they went forth leaping, jumping, gamboling, rearing, chattering as they took their fill of honey and fruits and tore up tall trees gay with flowers and fruit. Some threw others aloft out of sheer exuberance of spirit. Some paid back their assailants in deeds. Others started a war of words. Some appeared before Rama and roared, "We and we alone will slay Ravana." Nila, Kumuda and other leaders marched ahead carefully, scanning the country far and wide. Sugriva, Lakshmana and Rama took their places in the center. Shatabali, with 10 crores of monkeys at his back, kept vigilant over the troops in general. Panasa, Gaja, Arka and others guard the left. Sushena, Jambavan and others guarded the troops that marched in the rear of Sugriva. Neela, the commander-in-chief, kept an eye over the entire army. Darimukha, Prajanaka, Rambha, Rabasa and others ran about in all directions and hastened the army on the march. And marching thus, they beheld in the distance the mountain Sahya, dark with woods, and also lakes and pools covered with flowers and glades and groves. The monkey host, boundless as the ocean, and striking terror into the hearts of all with their cries, obeyed the strict orders of Rama and kept away from towns and villages. The Vanara heroes often came in front of Rama and gazed fondly at his supernal beauty. Like noble steeds guided by a skillful river, Marathi and Angada bore Rama and Lakshmana, who blazed like sun and moon in conjunction with Venus and Jupiter. Thus did Raghuveera, attended by Sugriva and Lakshmana, march southwards with the monkey leaders. Then Lakshmana, an adept in the science of omens and supremely resourceful, felt that his heart's wishes were already realized and said to his brother, "I see that your plans will be crowned with success. I read it from the signs on the earth and the sky. We shall rescue Mother Sita, we shall slay Ravana in battle, and we shall return to Ayodhya and receive royal welcome from our subjects there. The wind blows from behind upon our armies, soft, pleasant, bracing, and auspicious. Birds and beasts make sweet, full-throated noises. The quarters are clear and bright. The sun shines in all his luster. Venus is behind you. The ruler thereof, supremely wise in the sacred lore, is beneficial to you and is untouched by the maleficent planets. The seven rishis have passed the south. Trishanku, one of the most illustrious of the line of Ikshvaku, shines bright and clear in the company of Maharishi Vasishta, the guru of our royal race. The two stars in the constellation of Vishakha blaze on high, untouched by evil planets. The constellation Mula is ruled by the god Nairuti and guides the destinies of the Rakshasas. It is now on fire by the touch of the comet near it. All these presage the destruction of the Rakshasas. The stars that rule those whose death is near are in the grip of evil planets. But the waters are clear and sweet to us. Fruits and roots abound in the woods as we pass through. The trees are crowned with seasonal fruits and flowers. Our armies shine with enthusiasm and energy, even like the celestial hosts at the time of the great Taraka war. Think of all this and be cheerful." Then the monkey leaders marched on, hiding from view the earth and the sky. The dust raised by the hands and feet of the bears and monkeys blotted out the sun's rays and darkened all the earth. Like cloud banks in the rainy season, hiding mountains and forests from view, rivers, lakes, cataracts, woods, peaks, plains they traversed. They passed through well-watered spots and forests, teeming with fruits, climbed over wooded mountains, and spread themselves on level grounds. Every one of them was full of joy and cheer. They were like the god of air in speed, and in the service of Rama, their strength and might grew apace. Some marched on very fast through the exuberance of strength and exaltation and youth. Some took flying leaps. Others raised an eternal chatter. Some waved their tails aloft and brought them down upon the ground with thunderous force. Some smashed lofty trees and huge blocks with their hands and feet. Some climbed the tops of high mountains and roared from their perch. Some imitated the lion's roar. Some cut through strong and thick creepers by the force of the wind that rushed between their thighs. Some yawned in the pride of their strength and played with trees and blocks of stone, throwing them and catching them lightly. Hundreds, thousands, myriads, lakhs, crores, they covered the entire earth from view. Thus marched on by day and night the monkey array led by Sugriva, every one of them eager to deliver Sita from her captivity, marched on as fast as he could without wasting a single minute. Then, as they passed the mountains Sahya and Malaya, wooded with trees of various hues, Rama and Lakshmana beheld huge forest trees tossed by strong winds and scattering their flowers over large blocks of stone. Dark groves came into view where bees hummed in glee over the streams of honey. Cool, gentle breezes blew from the hills, which were decorated with ores of varied hue. The monkey hosts were coated thick with their dust, carried by gales from deep rock clefts. On the hill slopes, blooming cactus and acacia presented a gay appearance. The monkeys wrought sad havoc among them as they passed along. Here and there came to view high grounds dotted with pools and lakes on which waterfowls of infinite variety sailed gaily, while their banks teemed with boars, wolves, tigers, lions, elephants, and other wild beasts. Birds of various plumage filled the sides of the mountains with a sweet warble. The monkeys dived, swam, and sported in the cool waters. They raced up the hill slopes and jumped from lofty places. They hailed one another with wild laughter. Others took their fill of sweet fruits, roots, and flowers. Yet others drank deep of the honey that flowed from the trees. Some crashed through tall trees, tore off thick creepers, and reduced to dust the crest of mountains. Some, in intoxication, took flying leaps from tree to tree, yet others fell down to the earth. In fact, there was not even a pinpoint of space left uncovered. Like a field shining with golden harvest, the whole country was literally paved with them. Then Rama came to Mount Mahendra. Eager to have a view of the ocean, his eyes brightened as he strode up to the lofty peak and beheld, stretched before him for endless leagues, the waters teeming with whales, sea serpents, crocodiles, tortoises, and other creatures. The monkey hosts left behind them Sahya and Malaya and came to the shores of the sea, roaring dreadfully. Then Rama, Lakshmana, and Sugriva came down and, passing the forest named Vela, reached the seashore, thickly covered with blocks of stone lashed by angry waves. Then Rama said to Sugriva, "Friend, we have come to the shores of the ocean. Our old anxiety troubles us still. We can march no further. The waters stretch before us endlessly. We cannot see the other shore. Some ingenious means we must discover to take us over. Let us encamp our hosts here and take counsel regarding our future plans. Our troops must anyhow reach the farther shores. Well, let them rest for a while here. Now is the time to think of the means of taking them over. Pass stern orders that none should stray from his own division. Let veterans search the country most carefully all around for foes that may lie in ambush." Forthwith, Sugriva and Lakshmana marshaled the army on the shore where thick woods offered welcome. It looked like an ocean that had come into existence close by another. Then the monkey leaders entered the Vela woods and stayed there, wondering when they would cross over to the shores of Lanka. The sounds that proceeded from that vast army drowned the roaring of the ocean waves. Sugriva ordered it to be divided into three circles. The heroes came to the water's edge in joy and glee, but their hearts sank within them as they beheld before them an endless waste of waters, over which billows mountain high ever rose and sank, defying all approach. Cruel monsters roamed in its depths. It was ever vexed with storms and gales. The Rakshasas were seen hovering here and there. The crocodiles were like cruel planets in the heavens. The tide rose and ebbed most fearfully at the twilights. The sea seemed to laugh with its banks of foam and to dance with its huge billows. The rising moon was reflected from countless waves, and the sea was like the home of many moons. Crocodiles with the speed of powerful gales whales that gobble up the timi, 100 yojanas in length, huge sea serpents with hoods bright with many gems, seals, walruses, sea elephants, simsumaras, and other creatures of the deep roamed in the sea. Rocks and mountains, reefs and barriers rendered it dangerous for ships to sail. Hence, the asuras made it their haunt. Makara fish were found there, huge in bulk and looking like serpents. And in the sky above, they were uragas, serpent gods. Asuras lived in the sea, and so did they in the sky above. The sea struck terror into the hearts of the beholders, and so did the sky. Hence, the sea was like the sky, and the sky was like the sea. The ocean god was paved with priceless gems, and the sky above with brilliant stars. The huge billows looked like reflections of the clouds above. Verily, there was no difference between the sea and the sky. The terrible thunder of the clashing waves was like the sound of the huge war drums of Ocean King beaten during battle. Mangalam Kushlendraya Mahaniya Gunarthi Chakravarti Dhanurjaya Sarva Bhomaya Mangalam.